He moved back to the cluster around the black man. The shirt was off, and Nolan was attending him. The light was stronger. The sun was a blood-red ball just over the hills. Chamberlain saw a glistening black chest, massive muscles. The black man was in pain. Nolan said, "He'll be all right, Colonel. Bullet glanced off a rib, cut the skin. Looks just like anybody else inside." Nolan clucked in surprise. "Never treated a Negro before. This one's a tough one. They all got muscles like this one, Colonel?" "We'll have to leave him," Chamberlain said. "Let him have some rations. Try to give him directions. Buster, can you talk to him?"
"A little. Found out who shot him. It was some woman in that town there, Gettysburg."
"A woman?"
"He came into town looking for directions, and a woman came out on a porch and shot at him. He don't understand. I guess she didn't want to take a chance on being caught with him. But shoot him? Christ! He crawled out here figuring on dying."
Chamberlain shook his head slowly.
Kilrain said, "He's only been in this country a few weeks. He says he'd like to go home, since now he's free."
Bugles were blowing. The men were moving out into formation. Tom came up with the black mare. "I don't know what I can do," Chamberlain said. "Give him some food, bind him up, make a good bandage. But I don't know what else."
"Which way is home, Colonel?"
"Let's go, Buster."
"Do I point him generally east?"
Chamberlain shrugged. He started to move off, and then he turned, and to the black face looking up, to the red eyes, he looked down and bowed slightly, touching his cap. "Goodbye, friend. Good luck. God bless you." He rode off feeling foolish and angry, placed himself in front of the regiment. The division was forming on level ground, down the road, great square blocks of blue. The colors were unfurled, the lines were dressed. A stillness came over the corps. They were expecting a review, possibly Meade himself, but no one came. Chamberlain sat on his horse, alone in the sun before the ranks of the 20th Maine. He heard Tozier behind him. "Dress it up, dress it up." A muffled complaint, whispers, the far sound of hoofs pawing the ground. His own horse stood quietly, neck down, nibbling Pennsylvania grass. Chamberlain let the mare feed. The day was very hot. He saw a buzzard floating along in the pale blue above, drifting and floating, and he thought of the smell of dead men and chicken hawks swooping down, and the only eagle he'd ever seen, in captivity, back in Brewer, a vast wingspread, a murderous eye. Colonel Vincent came down the line, trailing aides like blue clouds. Chamberlain saluted. Vincent looked very happy. "We'll be moving up soon. No action this morning. I expect we'll be in reserve."
"Yes, sir.
Reserve is the best duty. That means they'll use us where we're needed. Once more into the breach," he grinned brightly, showing teeth almost womanly white. "How does that go, Professor?"
Chamberlain smiled politely.
"You spell breach with an A, am I right?"
"Thought so. I'm a Harvard man myself."
Vincent grinned, looked thoughtfully at the regiment.
"Glad you got those extra men. You may need them. How are they getting along?"
"Fine." Vincent nodded, reached out cheerily, patted Chamberlain on the arm.
"You'll be all right, Colonel. Glad to have you with us. I'm having some beef driven up. If there's time, we'll have a good feed tonight in this brigade."
He was interrupted by bugles, and there it was. Dan, 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 Butterfield, Butterfield. He swung his horse to listen, saw riders approaching, began to move that way. Over his shoulder, he said, "Anything you need, Colonel," and he rode off.